carry on with our idea of Jesus as the light who gives life. And of course, Therese is talking about symbols when she used the word letter S, talk about connection to September. Wonderful symbols which reflect on who God is. Shield, protecting us from the fiery darts of the enemy. You know, the idea that Satan wants to do us harm and Jesus is our shield. God provides a shield around us, protect us, and also becomes a shelter. And think of, if you think of Guam and you want to talk about typhoons hitting Guam, well, you say everything is built here like a shelter, you know, concrete buildings. We can go through a typhoon Mawar and nobody dies because everyone is able to find a shelter to withstand the storm, which is amazing. And then, of course, these are parts of the symbol that we're trying to talk about, which is Jesus as the light of the world. And we're going to carry on looking at this idea. In the Gospel of John, he does love to use these symbols. And symbolism is a literary device that uses objects or elements to communicate something beyond their literal meaning. And we're going to do this in a series, talking about some of the symbols that John uses. One thing is meant to represent something else. For example, the color red can symbolize love, and the color black can symbolize death. It's potentially some of the symbols that we know of. And then in the Gospel of John, light, of course, becomes our first one in the first chapter, but also, there's a symbol of water, there's the symbol of bread, and then there are other symbols. To help us, and these symbols all help us understand who our Savior is, who Jesus is, and what God is up to in our world today. We can use these very common everyday occurrences to help us understand. The Gospel of John specializes in these symbols and uses them to drive home things about Jesus that are true. And we want to know more about what John is writing, what he is saying in the gospel, by understanding these symbols and zeroing in on them. And above all else, they want to teach us that Jesus is our everything. He's our Savior and our King, and he provides us with everything in a completely holistic sense, that he covers every facet of our life, including our salvation spiritually, but also he's created a wonderful world in which we live. And of course, light is a very big part of that. Let us pray a moment, and then we'll read John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. Dear God, thank you for this Gospel of John. Thank you for his use of symbols, that they're powerful ways of communicating things which are true about you, O Lord. And this is our goal, our search, our journey, is to know more about you and to get closer to you. Always, in your precious name we pray. Amen. So John 1, 1 to 18, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'Oh, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. It's a wonderful passage. John writes beautifully and eloquently, and he says many things there. The Gospel of John, we're going to explore the symbols used here in his Gospel to represent who Jesus is. And again, another view of symbolism is a symbol is something that represents something else. In this case, water representing a light representing Jesus, revealing Jesus, showing us who he is, light. These representations will help us to view our Savior more clearly and bring much strength and comfort to our faith as light reveals so much truth about Jesus and about God. So here we have light. Jesus is the light of the world. As it says here on our bulletin, in front of our bulletin, says Jesus is the light of the world. It has a little candle shining. His light shines in the darkness of our world and brings the illumination. He shines in the darkness of our world and brings the illumination onto love, the love, joy, and peace of our God. Jesus is our peace, and he brings us peace. And this light magnifies the love, joy, and peace of God. Through Jesus coming into the world, as it reveals in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, Jesus came into the world. He came to banish darkness and to make it be driven away wherever it is found. Wherever it is found. Jesus loves to drive the darkness out of our lives. He loves to drive the darkness out of our society and culture. He loves to drive the darkness out of our world. And this is what he is doing. This is what he is busy why he is revealing himself as the light of the world. And so a person who encounters the light of Jesus Christ and comes to know that they must respond to it by repentance and faith, they begin to overcome the darkness. They begin to enter into the light of Jesus Christ, and it powers the darkness away. It makes it become something irrelevant. And when that happens, when this light of Jesus Christ enters your heart, and you in repentance and faith have accepted him, well, you become born of God. You become a born-again child of the living God. And there you are, brand new, made new, given a new life in Christ. You join then the family of faith. And in this family of faith, we are the ones who are redeemed from our sins. That's what I love to say to someone who says, I'm not ready to come to church. I'm not there. I'm not, too much darkness in my life. Too much unholiness. We say, we're all the same boat. We're all the same kind of people. We're all people who have this interplay of darkness and light in our lives. We wrestle with darkness and light all the time. And we are all people redeemed from out of that darkness into light. And we're saying to anyone who wants to make a new beginning, come and join us in the journey. Because we're all on that journey and we want to make that new and fresh start every day. We want to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. And we want to surrender all that we've done during the day to him at night. And we can because of his redeeming love and his powerful presence in our life. And of course, you've got to understand that Jesus is not just a spiritual thing we're talking about. It's not what the Gospel of John says. It says, while he was with God in the beginning, he was also the one through whom all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Therefore, Jesus is a light which originated every light that we find in the world today. Jesus is the light of the world in a powerful and profound sense. These sources of light are all belong to Jesus, except maybe the Diwali Diva light over there. But if you look at all the other lights, fireworks, candle, light bulb, jellyfish, firefly, lighthouse, a match, stars, neon signs, Christmas lights, sun and moon, stars, lanterns, sparklers, car headlights. Really, they're only here because Jesus made the world. He made the world possible so that we can capture fire and put it into the headlights. And, you know, it's in the firefly, a bug. It's something which happens naturally in jellyfish. It's quite astounding, the miracle of light. What would our world be like without light? This is a picture of New York City. Lights are turned off. Now the stars are sparkling. The stars which God made and put into the sky are sparkling. But our world would be a dark and dangerous place without light. And most of all, it would be a world without life. Because of the creation of the sun, which shines on our world, shining on our world, on our Guam today, there's photosynthesis. Plants are able to produce the necessary elements for life. We completely rely on the sun. There's no sun, there's no photosynthesis, and then there's no food for plants and no food for animals, no food for anyone. No sun, there's no life on earth. This is the basis behind the dinosaur extinction. Suddenly, sun was blocked out by some dust or meteor or something else. But that is the reality of the world we live in. We rely on the sun, which was created through Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. So there is no accident that the Gospel of John and the text of John 1 links light and life together in Jesus Christ and in us. Because if Jesus is our Lord, we have light, we have life. God, who created the world through Jesus Christ, made life possible through the life-giving properties of the sun. Now, John 1, 3 and 4 says, through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So you want to have life. You want to have a redemption. You want to have a renewal. You want to have a restart with God. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because in him is the life that we need. In him is the new life that sets us free. Who is Jesus? Well, in the very last chapter of the Old Testament, if you go through your Bible and you go through your Old Testament, the last chapter is Malachi, chapter 4. The next, turn the page over, and the next thing in our Bibles is the Gospel of Matthew. It begins with the Gospel of Jesus Christ. But in that last chapter of Malachi, the last prophet, he says this: but for you who revere my name, for you who revere the name of the Lord, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his rays. The Son of Righteousness is Jesus Christ. Prophesied by Malachi, the end of the Old Testament. He is the sun shining into our lives, the sun of our salvation. Not the sun of photosynthesis and the way plants give life to the world. He is the Son of Righteousness who gives life to our sinful souls. He rises with healing in his rays because he will heal you and he will heal your sin-sick soul. There's a great song that says there is a balm in Gilead. It's from the prophets. There's a balm in Gilead. And the balm in Gilead is a healing power found in Israel, and it's found and centered in Jesus Christ, who's the one who's revealed as the light of the world. There's a great quotation from Isaiah chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. We celebrate this every Christmas. Don't we put lights out? Guam loves lights at Christmas. It's kind of unique to be as celebrating of light as Guam is. Maybe it happens in the Philippines as well. Not that we don't have lights in the mainland, in the States. I've seen many kinds of lights. There's lights in a light show going on in Amsterdam, you know. Or I'm sure there's many light events that go on in Australia, the land down under. But in this, Isaiah 9 verse 2, he's promising that this light is going to shine on them and deep darkness is going to be banished. The people walking in darkness will see a great light. The darkness generates fear and provides a cover for evil. And we know that. You know that in the darkness. You know, if see the lights go out in a New York City or the lights go out in any other major city, there's going to be crime. There's going to be vandalism. We know at night, you know, people start to maraud. You know, look at your video cameras here in Guam. When you look, I look at a Manilao app that shows me what people are up to in the middle of the night. People show their videos with someone, you know, rummaging around in their garage looking for something to steal. In the darkness of the night, people like to do evil. But our Lord comes to establish Israel in freedom from sin. He has come to Israel to fulfill the promise that he is the one to deliver them from sin and Satan and death. And he's going to shine brightly in their midst. People walking in darkness will have seen a great light. Now John 1 verse 5 is very important to the story of Jesus. It says there, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome it. Because the light shining is not comprehended or outsmarted or extinguished by the evil, by the darkness. You understand that? That the light coming into the world is not comprehended or outsmarted or extinguished. There's something that is beyond the power of any evil or any darkness to penetrate or overcome or extinguish. That light will shine and will break through. And we will be rescued from the darkness. The light that God sends into the world provides our liberation from it. And we will be set truly free. Now John 8 verse 12 says the same thing. Jesus is speaking and he says this. Then spake Jesus unto them saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is the light. Now John 1 verse 6 says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. It talks about John the Baptist. He comes as a prophet to Israel, crying out in the wilderness, repent, O Israel, repent and be baptized, every one of you, because you are all guilty, and you're all sinful, and you need cleansing and reconciliation with God. This is why the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant to any single person born on planet Earth. And it doesn't matter where they come from, Africa, Asia, Oceania, land down under, America, North America, South America, Europe. It does not matter where you were born or who you are. You need the light of Jesus Christ to be redeemed and to be made right with God. John preaches this to the people of Israel. He says you need cleansing and reconciliation with God. You need to be made right with him. And then, so John the Baptist becomes a forerunner for Jesus, and he testifies to him, and he points to him, and he says, I am not the Messiah, though you might think I am. I'm just the last prophet, like Malachi, who said Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. I'm a prophet saying Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. And he's pointing to Jesus, and he's saying, I'm not worthy to unfasten the sandals of his feet. He is so much greater than I am. Because John the Baptist ends the prophets and the Old Testament and begins, points the way to Jesus, who's the New Testament. Who's the new way of life? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So John becomes a witness to him, and by the Spirit, John knows that Jesus is the one whom Israel has been waiting for. That Israel was waiting for the Lord to move, God to move on the earth, and Jesus is the one who moves. Jesus is the one who brings the light to them. But Jesus is not only a light for Israel. He is the light of the world. And he is the one whose glory fills the earth and fills the heavens and fills every heart of every person who belongs to him. That is why all that happened in Israel with Jesus was not contained there. For the earth will be filled with the glory, with the knowledge of God, a knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. As the waters cover the sea. Now we, Guam, know about the sea. To fly across the sea to get out of here. To travel on boats on the sea, you know how deep the waters are and how far it is. We have a great respect for the sea because from the sea come the storms, but from the sea also comes the rain that makes Guam very green. But one day, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That is why all that happened in Israel with Jesus is not contained there, but it goes into all the world. As it says in John 1, verse 14 to 18, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.'" See what John is saying? John is saying, before the history of Israel began, before the world history began in the creation, Jesus was. You know, God says, what is, you know, they ask God, what is your name? He says, "I am who I am." And of course, God is saying he was in existence from all time. And Jesus was in existence with him. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. As it says in John 1, verse 1. So out of the fullness of Jesus Christ, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Verse 16, chapter 1. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. To know the Father is to know Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, we receive the light of life and the light that shines into the world. And we all long one day for the glory of the Lord to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your revelation and truth, which is found in Jesus Christ. We thank you for guiding us and leading us by the light of the Lord in our spiritual walk. We close our eyes, Lord, to pray, because we want to see your light shining in our hearts, and we want to understand more deeply how you are a Savior, how you are strength, and strength to give us strength where we are weak, to be a shelter who covers over us in all of the troubles and travails of life. You are a shield who defends us. You are the sinless and sovereign who sends the Holy Spirit into us to give us the light of Jesus Christ to live. We pray, Lord, that you may help us to be a people of grace and truth ourselves, to be speaking and witnessing to the truth, to be representatives of the truth, to be a people who are full of grace and are gracious and graceful with each other. Because even as we come to know the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, we say praise to you, O God, And there we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done, Lord. Your commandments be fulfilled. Let us be people of the commandments of the Lord, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And in that, Lord, to learn the great lesson of grace, which is we forgive, to ask you to forgive our sins, Lord, as we forgive our sinners. And as the disciples were wondering, how many times are we to forgive? How many times are we to be gracious? And you say forever and ever, because you say 70 times 70, which is beyond count. And so, Lord, we are people who walk the walk of grace and walk the walk of truth. May you help us in doing that, empower us and lead us, Lord. And may we never be shy in following you always, through all time, unto eternity. Amen. Amen. And we're going to turn